You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's Post Game Podcast.
All right, hey, what do you say we do a podcast today? Dr. Seuss here. All right, what's up, Sal? How are you?
Hi, Jerry. In the warm-up show today, which comes after this, I was asking, you know, if people were working today, MLK Day, and yeah. I got a note from a couple of accountants that said, oh, it's a tax season. We work every day from here on out. And it got me thinking and tweeting this past hour of the show. I tweeted about, like, if you're not doing anything, if you're not trying to fudge the numbers, why would you not just use TurboTax to do your taxes?
I'm trying to fudge the numbers.
Right, that's what I think. Like,
I'm looking for every possible legal deduction known to man.
But TurboTax does that. So what we're really looking for is...
Time.
What do you mean?
Not
you
interested.
Do have the time.
Not interested. My accountant does it, takes care of it, handles it, submits it. I'm good. Just tell me what I owe.
Right, okay.
Not interested.
Mm-hmm. It would take you just as long to drive your stuff to the accountant as it
Not
would be
interested.
If you do it at
I don't
home.
Have to drive it. I email everything.
Okay. But then you're also trusting another person to do your taxes.
Correct.
Who could be totally fugazi.
He's not fugazi. I actually trust this guy.
We
known him a long time.
We all trusted people.
By the way, trust us.
Like what you said, trust will let us down.
Trust
only yourself. Others will let us down.
Trust is nonsense.
Right.
I hope he's doing the right thing.
Like, I could trust the robot that is TurboTax.
Yeah, you can, absolutely.
People also always think different things are deductible that are not deductible.
I know.
Like, Gina all the time will say to me, well, you could deduct that for your job. I go, no, I can't.
Well, there are things you can deduct. It doesn't mean that's coming off what you make. There are certain levels of deductions you have to reach before anything actually comes off your taxable income,
which
really sucks.
Not only that, when you deduct, you're only deducting taxes off of things. You're not deducting, like, let's say I bought a car for work.
Right.
And the car was $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
I don't deduct $30,000.
No,
I only deduct
not.
The tax of $30,000.
Right.
So people act like you're getting all these breaks by going, you don't deduct your post-it notes? Well, I don't know. The tax on post-it notes is like 9 cents.
It's nothing.
Yeah. I don't know. People always think everything's deductible.
Well, but there's a difference, too, if you have a business or if it's a personal expense. So, like, for if you have a business, anything you purchase is merchandise and expenses. And those are legitimate.
Yeah.
Like, when I spend $2,000 on cornhole boards, you know, that does come off my bottom line. I mean, you can't, without those, you can't have a business. And there are certain expenses you do get as opposed to what you're talking about that no
like people be way. Like you deduct cable because you have to have cable for your job. Well, okay, but if you're doing it correctly, 100% of your cable isn't because of your job.
That
you're enjoying
correct.
So you shouldn't
the sports
deduct,
package
right you shouldn't deduct and then okay so then the sports package, let's say it's $20 a month.
Yeah, sure.
What tax on $20 is like $4.
I have no idea.
You're really going to do all the paperwork to get a $4 break?
It's not even $4.
Right.
To be quite honest.
This doesn't make sense.
But
people like to, you know, people fudge these numbers all the time.
There's a lot of different things, too. So, like, we have, as you know, we have a handful of commercial real estate holdings. There are so many tax laws about passive income. And, dude,
yeah.
I don't understand it. I don't understand any of it. And to me, I don't want to screw it up. I don't want to end up with tax penalties. Just here, do this, do it the right way. And
what's it cost to get your taxes done?
A few hundred bucks.
Yeah, because I'm thinking like TurboTax is probably like $70 now.
Is it really?
Yeah, and then you got to
don't
pay.
They have a free one?
That's if you're really super basic.
Oh,
like
okay.
If you
like a 17-year-old return.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Things like that.
Got it.
The other thing, I was, you know, we're in a day and age when everyone is looking for donations, you know, charitable causes, that sort of thing. And I oftentimes think if I'm going to give to a charity, what am I giving to, right? So there's, you know, there's certain things I think that if you donate to, you can see them using your donations.
Okay.
Right? There's things. It's like there's a Jersey Shore rescue mission is in mm-hmm. Asbury Park. You know, if you give money to that, it's going to those things. I keep getting, and you might get them as well, donate back to your college, right?
Yeah, no.
I get that all the time. Like,
yes.
Donate back to Kane, donate mm-hmm. back to Indiana State.
They all do it.
Right, they all do it.
Yeah. High schools do it.
First of all, you're charging
I know.
Tuition. The presidents at these schools make $500,000.
Or more.
Then you're charging people all this money to go there, and then you're paying adjuncts $2,500 a semester to teach your kids.
Right.
Get lost with your donations.
Well said.
Right?
Dude, I get them nonstop. I get yeah. them from St. John Vianney and Homedale because I went there. Now, in that case, it's a little different because the tuition is not like college. I mean, it ain't cheap for sure, but it's not $65,000 a year either. It's also not like college with thousands of students. There might be 1,000 students in the school. So it's
right.
not, again, it's not 40,000 students. And I do know their expenses are high, but whatever. But St. John Vianney, I get it from New Jersey City University. I do get it from Rutgers because I do donate to the basketball program. Once you're on the list, you're on the list.
Right.
And it's just nonstop. Kane from my wife. I'm like, who else wants money?
Yeah.
I'm going to start sending them fundraisers for me.
Right.
Come on.
Right. If you could give money to give this person who's not going to have a meal or clothing,
sure.
that is very different to me
yeah.
than donating to a school with $500,000 president.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a thing that drives me nuts about stocks, which I will never be able to figure out.
Me neither.
Never.
Ever.
Because
and people have explained it to me. I still don't understand
yeah,
it.
The biggest one to me in all of these years has been SiriusXM.
Yeah, I'm with you. I
right?
agree. Why that's not worth $500 a share,
that's
I have no
like
idea.
Worth $3, it's, $2. Meanwhile,
I know.
Howard's making $100 million a year. The head of Sirius is making millions and millions. All they tout is that 65 billion people have it in their cars.
Yeah.
Then why is your stock $3?
I agree. I will never understand it. It makes no sense to me. It seems like the coolest thing ever. And I remember when it was at like, I want to say when it was like at $5,
yeah.
I convinced my father to buy thousands of shares of it. Sorry, Dad. Never went anywhere. Now, he sold it. I don't think he lost much. He didn't make anything.
I remember when it first came out, and I knew even less about the stock
yeah.
market than I do now, and I know nothing now. I remember when it was first coming out and I was hearing about it, and it went public. It was $35 a share.
I was like, it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember it was between $35 and $40 a share. I remember telling my friends, who also knew nothing about the stock market, we should buy a whole bunch of this.
Well, why wouldn't you think that? Like, why wouldn't you think that's going to be $100 a share one day?
And then if you would have told me Howard Stern
right.
went there.
You'd think it would explode.
And the NFL and baseball.
Yeah.
And
I don't
it
know.
It doesn't make any sense.
Unless it's just a losing proposition and they don't make money.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I don't get any of it. I try watching Mad Money with Jim Cramer.
Yeah.
I listen to certain radio shows. I don't get it. I watched the Yahoo Crypto Hour the other day.
Forget it.
Holy Christ. They brought on like the wealthiest crypto. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see this guy. He's like a 26-year-old dork. And he was in Shanghai on his headphones, and I'm listening to him like, I don't know what the hell he's saying. And he's clearly 100 times or 1,000 times smarter than I am. I'm not disputing that. But like, this guy's worth billions of dollars talking about some currency that I can't see.
I asked Guy Adami one time specifically about SiriusXM.
Yeah.
And this was an off-the-air conversation. I said, I don't understand. Like, they have all these in all the cars.
Yeah.
It's $3. He said that sometimes the stock is affected by looking at the future. And if the future is not is in streaming radio stations instead, then why do they need, then they don't need the satellites, and sure, now their product is no different
when
than
we ever getting there.
I don't know.
Are you talking about 20 years down the road?
That's
why
sure.
the stock price is not good?
Right.
Because in 2050, when we're dead, streaming is going to be, I mean, come on. I don't know.
It's very confusing.
Yeah, it is.
Very confusing.
Yeah, it is. I agree. And by the way, even with that, you're right. I would think almost more attractive if they could stream out their content and not have to worry about that stupid thing in space.
But then everyone, but I guess his guy's point then was that now you're, and I guess we're there already, your competitors don't need to have the satellites in the sky.
No, but the competitors don't have Howard Stern,
right.
The NFL, MLB, and things of that nature.
Right.
That's the beauty to me, more so than the commercial-free music. There are shows there that you can't get anywhere else. Like, I like the NFL channel. I do. I actually like, and I've been listening a lot more lately, to Russo, you know, when I'm in the car. You know, Evan and Craig go to commercial. You know what? I kind of know I got 7 minutes.
Right.
I'm not interested in the commercials. Knowing, you know, working here, I kind of know the format. Boom, I go to Russo. So, I don't know. It's original content to me more so than what other people can provide. Because I got Spotify for the music.
Right.
You know?
I know. It's a lot of competition for our dollars.
Yeah, there is. Sure is.
Then this is my more deeper conversation for the podcast. So, I watched this show on Netflix called Cheer.
Okay.
It's an odd show for me to be watching because I don't think it's aimed at me. It's in season two now. Just came out season one. It was about this junior college. It was a docuseries. It's this junior college in Texas that has the best cheerleading program in the country.
Why would you think that's not aimed at you? Okay.
But I had been I kept seeing articles about it at the time when it came out, and I said, you know what, I'll check this out. But it's very interesting in that it's a very hardcore, like, they practice, and it's men and women,
mm-hmm.
Tumbling,
yep.
Flipping, gymnastics.
And they're probably amazing, right?
Incredible. They're in incredible shape, and then it's incredibly competitive, and they work all day long,
mm-hmm.
All day long. And the woman who runs the program, she works nonstop. She's won 14 titles. And the second best in the entire country is only 35 miles away, so they have a camera crew over there, too.
Wow, that's cool.
But it got me to thinking, like, a lot of the girls, the men and women that are cheerleaders and that bust their ass and all this stuff, they often have trauma in their life, right? And it brought up to me this idea that people who had a lot of childhood trauma oftentimes put their entire life into something else and excel at it.
Yeah, well, and it also creates a different part of their life that they can kind of push away what was bad.
Right.
Like, all of a sudden, they're addicted to something else that encompasses their being.
Like, there was a girl on there they were profiling who her dad was in prison.
Oof.
And she said her mom growing up, the mom sometimes was arrested. The mom was doing drugs, right? So she said she didn't know where she was going to sleep at night. Mm. She didn't know where her next meal was coming from, but she knew at 9 a.m. she had to be at the cheerleading
place. Gives you a purpose.
Right. So then all she did was that.
Yes.
And I sometimes think, like, the people that are really super driven in sports or musicians.
Or in life.
Is it because they had some sort of trauma?
Yes,
that can't
no.
be taught to somebody who didn't go through something like
I
that.
I think there's a bigger conversation here for sure. But I do, because you can find plenty of people that have grown up with trauma that have become losers.
Right.
No so question. But it depends on the individual. There are kids. I mean, listen, we live in the suburbs. You live down the Jersey Shore. Clearly, we live a comfortable life.
Yes.
And I think, I'd say my kids, they don't. They're not facing that, what's for dinner tonight, guys? Did you have any money to buy something? they know they're getting their 3, 4, 5 meals a day. They know the heat's going to be on. They know they've got a house and a backyard. And so now you get into the mindset of the athlete. I coach kids. I see kids. There are the comfortable kids that are out there because mommy and daddy are footing the bill. They might be relatively talented, but whatever. They're very comfortable. I see kids with the same upbringing that are driven and will practice nonstop because they love it. And it's just the determination that they have. I wish they could squeeze into others. So there's no trauma there. It's just, it's the makeup of the person. And I think while it's neat to highlight people that have their backs against the wall, if you will, I'm sure find hundreds of others that had their backs against the wall and they're sleeping on sidewalks or they're in and out of homes or detention centers. So I think it's neat to see those stories because those are the positive ones. But I think for every positive one, I think there are hundreds, if not thousands, of negative ones. Same as the kid that comes from the suburbs. For every kid that makes it, there are hundreds of thousands that never will. Now, their ending will not be as bad, but in terms of excelling at what they're doing, I think the stats probably bear out pretty even.
So do you think, like, if you were, let's look at professional athletes.
Sure.
Would you say more of them have some sort of childhood trauma or more of them did not?
I think it's even. Like, who's the greatest football player of all time at this point?
Tom Brady.
How is his growth? How is his upbringing?
Pretty good.
Great. Middle class kids, suburbs, great family. His drive and determination is like nothing we've ever seen. And then you've got guys that have become really talented, drafted high, and peter out because they're just, I think we've plenty of, you know, examples of that. We always talk about Ryan Leaf. What happened to him?
Well, that was the other interesting thing in seeing it in this this cheer docuseries. So the one girl, like, in this thing, you want to make they have 40 people on the team, but only 20 make Matt.
Okay.
Which is the people who perform.
Right.
And this one girl got switched out. She was on the mat, and they switched her out to a backup. And she was, like, crushed. It was the same girl that they profiled.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, the pressure, and this I think about college players coming to the pros sometimes. She said, where I grew up doing cheerleading, I was the best. I came to this school, everyone's the best.
Right, yeah.
Right? We talk Absolutely. About Trevor Lawrence not having lost a game.
Correct.
Till he got to the Jaguars.
Yeah.
Like that's got to screw some people, like screw up your mind for some people, right?
Well, it's an adjustment. If it's that easy for you and then all of a sudden it's really freaking hard.
Yeah.
Like, you have to change everything you do and your habits have to change, I would think, because you would think from every level that you advance, it gets harder and harder. Now, he's a weird example. The fact that he never lost ever, I don't know how many people can say that. I mean, again, right. Tom Brady, if he's the greatest ever, he lost. Hell, he wasn't even playing football until he was in high school. I think that's an extreme. But, yeah, I mean, all these guys will say, oh, my God, you get to the pros. You look around. How about all the NBA guys that end up in the G League, kids that get drafted? Now, think about the NBA. You've got 300 and I forget what the exact number is. I want to say 353 Division I colleges for basketball. I think it's 353. I could be off by that, but it's right around there. 353 Division I college basketball programs. The NBA draft has 2 rounds. There's only like 60 picks out of 353 teams. They're only taking 60 kids. So you think about this. We always talk about, oh, you got to get in the lottery, got to get in the lottery. You're telling me the 9th best available player on the planet is not good enough to play in the NBA? And if you look at the NBA draft, I'd say 75% of kids that are drafted every year either don't make it or end up in the G League. You go to the G League, guys, you're great. And it's like, why are you not in the NBA?
Right.
Well, have you seen the NBA guys? It's hard. It's really hard. And you have to have that drive and that determination.
Which is weird, too, when we're watching sports to go, that guy sucks.
I've told you this. We've had this conversation. That's my biggest issue with this medium, this business. I hate the guy, and we all do it, so I'm not calling anybody out. I'm a part of it when I host, too. I hate the guy that sits here with the microphone and rips these guys like they're the biggest piece of crap when we couldn't on our best day growing up ever do a tenth of what these guys can do. And then you see them and they're just jacked, and the amount of work they put in and the work in the classroom. I see it on the college level. And we're having fun, sort of having fun with Mike McCarthy. That's why I say I hate calling for people to be fired. You know how much time Mike McCarthy probably puts in a week?
Right. They're all week long.
Yeah. And it's like, I wish, I really do, because I only had the experience once, Cowboys Giants on a Sunday night game, I think it was, where I had the privilege of watching the game on the sideline. And I'll never forget walking out saying, I am never criticizing these guys ever again. I couldn't believe the speed and the violence and the speed of the clock. So I'll tell you a real quick story. I'll make it as fast as I can. We talk about these guys. They're on the sideline in an NFL game with millions and millions of people watching them. And they've got to make these decisions with a game clock running down, a play clock running down. In the NFL's case, roughly 40 seconds, sometimes 25, depending upon the time of the game. I'll never forget the first travel game that I coached. I went in. I didn't have a chart or anything. I'm like, I coached. I know what I'm doing. And I put the kids in their position for the first inning. And then the second inning came, and they all came, where we play? I'm like, oh, yeah, because I had two kids on the bench. I had to get them out. You go here, you go here. I'm like, and the kids are, who's sitting? I'm like, oh, I don't know. And then the umpire comes over and goes, coach, what are we doing? Let's go get your kids on the field. I'm like, ah. And I start like sweating. Like, I'm not ready for this. That was coaching 7-year-olds.
Right.
Do you imagine on that stage what it's like? It's so much harder than any of us know. But we judge and judge and judge.
One of the things that we talk that the quarterbacks who are really good in college that then come to the pros and don't do great right away.
Yeah.
They always talk about the speed of the game being completely different. There was a two-frame shot from the Eagles Bucks game where Jalen Hurts threw an interception on like the goal line or something. Yeah. The first frame is the wide receiver sitting there with no one near him. The second frame, the ball's picked. Like, the guy wasn't even
By the end zone, pylon.
The guy wasn't even near the play and got there and picked it off.
And what's amazing about that is if he makes that throw literally a split second quicker and it just gets to, I think it was it Devontae Smith, I think?
I don't remember.
If it just gets him in front of we're saying, oh my God, what a great throw. How he just threaded the needle and got it in there just before the safety got there. But a split second the wrong way, what is he looking at? Right. What a terrible throw. How about the other interception he threw where he threw it up and out and they had the shot from behind him? I'm like, what is he looking at? He's the smallest guy on the field. You got these gargantuans in front killing each other. What do they see? We have no idea what it's like.
Yeah.
No idea. It's a conversation I love to have. Actually, I've had this conversation with coaches that I've been associated with in the past in the colleges. And it's comical what we think as fans.
Yeah, and you're right. I've had a chance a couple times to be down in an NFL game at the last 5 minutes or whatever. They used to, if you were going to go in the locker room.
Yeah, right.
You would go down on the field and stand like behind the end zone.
Yep.
And just seeing.
Unbelievable.
Like you said, the speed, the contact.
Yeah. It's a violent, incredibly fast game.
Yeah.
And it's just.
They're like, that guy blows.
I think most people would crap themselves.
Yes.
I really do believe that. But they'll never have the opportunity.
Right.
Instead, we just, sit on high and you suck, he sucks, fire him, cut his ass. I mean, really. It's really terrible.
Yes.
And then you throw social media into the mix.
Oh, forget it.
God, what are we doing?
Forget it.
Yeah, it's awful. It is just awful.
So you really determined then with trauma, either it can drive you.
Yeah.
Or it can send you deeper down into the abyss.
I think so. Would you not agree with that?
Yeah. But you're right. It is nice to hear stories of people who have trauma, overcome the trauma.
100%.
And then do well in life.
It can be the biggest driving force in their life every single morning.
But I do think sometimes that kids that are very well off don't have that same.
Again, I on the surface, drive. I agree with you, except for the fact that the greatest player of all time was very well off growing up. J.R. Smith, I believe, who had a hell of an NBA career, I believe grew up wealthy.
Yes, you're right.
I mean, so it doesn't necessarily mean, I don't think Michael Jordan, I don't I think Michael Jordan grew up in a very well-to-do family. He's the greatest athlete I've ever seen in my life. I'm pretty sure he didn't have a tough upbringing. I have to double check that, but I don't think he had a bad upbringing. It just depends on it really depends on the mindset of the kid. It does. I mean, I got two kids that both play sports. They couldn't be more different. They could not.
That's
be
always
more
weird
different.
To me.
Yeah.
When they're from the same family, yep. grew up in the same house.
Yeah. Matthew loves game day. I tell him he's got practice. He's like, oh, God, okay. And it's like, it's torture. Joseph, can't wait for the game for sure. Are we practicing today? No, not today. Why? Like, because we practiced yesterday. We're practicing tomorrow. Well, we should practice today. And then I'll look 5 minutes later. He'll be out hitting off a tee in the batting cage. Like, it's just a completely different kid and mindset. Came from the same person. unless my wife found someone else for Joseph, I'm not sure. Matthew kind of looks like me, so I feel good about that one. But yeah, it's bizarre.
You grew up in the same house.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's weird. Very
sure
strange.
Is. Are you and your sisters very similar or different?
Well, I'm in the middle. My two sisters, I think, are different.
They are.
Yeah. Like, one was very studious and locked in with school.
Mm-hmm.
And the older sister was more of like the freewheeling spirit of
and
a
again,
first child.
Your parents, I'm sure, raised them the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's strange. Very. So what's the show called? The Cheer?
It's called Cheer.
On Netflix.
Yeah, on Netflix. Really good.
All right.
I enjoy it.
Maybe I'll give it a try.
All right, give it a try, Jerry. We'll see you tomorrow on a Tuesday. Ooh, you got an NFL playoff game to discuss tomorrow morning.
You'll have Chris LaPresti tomorrow.
Christopher LaPresti. You better tell him to get ready. He better watch the game tonight.
He'll watch the game.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow. So,
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Fan is on your smart speaker. To listen to the home of New York sports, just say, hey, Google, play WFAN.
Good morning, campers.
Alan, Jerry, don't worry. It's only an hour long, and most days it doesn't suck.
Right, here we go. It's a football Monday, a couple of minutes after 5 o'clock. Good morning, the Eddie Scazzeri. You're right. Life is good sometimes this morning. If you're a Cowboy fan, it sucks. Steeler fan, it sucks. And if you're an Eagles fan, it sucks. Hello, Al Tom Dukes. What's up?
Oh, good morning, Jerry. So let's quickly go through the things. Bengals Raiders kicked it all off. Good game.
Yeah, good
game.
Solid
game.
Yeah.
Happy game.
I couldn't believe I got in the car. I was in Maryland for Rutgers. I got in the car right at kickoff, so I listened to the entire game the way home. I got home when the Raiders got the ball with a minute and a half or so to go. I'm like, there's no way they're going to get it. And then I turn on the TV and I see fourth down and they're on the 10-yard line. So yes, very good game to start.
Good game. Second game, Bills Patriots.
Horrendous.
So bad.
I mean, it was over in for literally 5 minutes. You felt like the game was over.
But you know what? I didn't even take that as like a terrible loss, because if you're the Patriots, everyone was like, oh, see,
up and coming team.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Up and coming team. This is a first year quarterback.
Yes.
The guy made it to the playoffs. Good enough.
I agree. They won 10 games. They overachieved, I think you
Correct.
Could say. Disappointing finish, but whatever.
But it's funny to see people going, see, Tom Brady's better than Bill Belichick. God. Give the guy a second. The guy had 1 year with a brand new quarterback. How are all these other brand new quarterbacks doing?
Didn't the Patriots win like six straight games or something and take take over first place for a while.
So I don't even care that they got whooped, Jerry. You know what I mean? Like the close game we're getting blown out don't matter.
I agree, except that I was, so I got back from Maryland and the idea, me and my wife were going out with a couple of friends to watch the game. There was nothing. The game sucked.
Yeah, it
did really
suck.
Did. I mean, it was no game. Here's what you know. 47-17 was the final score. The game wasn't that close.
It wasn't even a 30-point close
game. It wasn't.
Right.
It wasn't. I mean, they got shellacked.
Shellacked.
So, yeah, terrible Saturday night.
All right. Then we start the Eagles-Bucks.
Terrible game.
Embarrassing. The fact that the Eagles are even a playoff. The fact that
horrible game.
Come on.
I know.
Oh, my God. They were so bad. And then we get to Cowboys-Niners.
Terrible game.
That was the most... Now, listen, if you hate the Cowboys, it was a fun game for you.
Of course.
If you're a Cowboy fan or just a fan of football, it was so frustratingly bad.
It was choppy. Penalties on almost every play.
Oh, my God.
It was terrible. Really, but...
And what's going on with your Dallas Cowboys?
Well, what do you want to know? What do you want to know? Let's see. They weren't ready to play to start.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay, so that's a problem. They weren't. I mean, they got run over on that first drive. And I do like Dan Quinn, and he's done a great job as defensive coordinator. But they were not ready for that first drive at all. Now, they settled things down for sure, and I thought they did a good job from that point forward, although they went down and kicked field goals their other couple of drives. But, you know, offensively, I don't want to get into this conversation, but if anybody out there, if any boob out there that doesn't think line play, whether it's offensive or defensive, is not the most important thing in the NFL, then you're an ass face. Because that game yesterday was every indication that if you can control the line of scrimmage, you've got a better chance to win than the other team. How about this? The Niners sacked Dak Prescott 5 times and hit him 16 other times. You know how many times Jimmy Garoppolo was sacked?
How many?
0.
Oh, 0
times. How many times he was hit?
How many?
4 times.
All right.
You're not going to win that way. You're just not. So, and even, you know, Zach Martin, good for him. He's like, yeah, we were terrible. Like, offensive line, we need to be better. They were off. They got run over. Oh, that's terrible.
Mike
McCarthy stinks. I'm sorry. He stinks.
He sucks an egg, Jerry. He really sucks an egg.
I haven't heard that since grade school.
He sucks eggs. He's such a dolt on the sideline.
Yes,
the fact that the Cowboys are offsides,
unbelievable.
Sometimes twice in a row. What are you doing?
I don't know what to tell you. I'm with you. Now, there were things that I thought were... there were a couple of bad calls for sure,
yeah.
But I thought there were bad calls for both sides. Like, there was one block in the back on the Cowboys that was a joke. And then there was, I think on the next series, there was a holding penalty on the Niners that was a joke. So I thought... Now, I did look into this because there have been games where you just never know. They're going to call a flag on everything. So I checked this officiating crew. They call a lot of flags.
Is that right?
So I wasn't surprised going into the game, but they're their own worst enemy.
How did you check that? Did you Google it?
I checked Kemp's. I Googled Kemp's officiating record.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And it came up?
Yeah, it comes up how many penalties that his crew calls each game. I mean, the numbers are like 17, 18, 14, 20. It's like, oh, come on.
Well, this Kemp is a real punk.
Oh, God. You can call a penalty on every play. These guys. But whatever. Like, I can't argue the play on Randy Gregory at the end. He tackled the offensive lineman. I do think he thought he was the ball carrier. At least I hope that's what he thought. Otherwise, I don't know what the hell he was doing. But, that, I mean, at the bottom line is the Cowboys got the ball to the Niners' 46-yard line with plenty of time in this game. Before all the nonsense, I cannot believe watching the Mike McCarthy and the Dak Prescott press conference, I cannot believe how much time was spent on a run up the middle and not being able to get one final pray-for-it playoff as if they were going to score from 25 yards out.
Right. We act like if they got that ball set and snapped,
right.
Cowboys win.
No, they lost the game on the previous series. 1st and 10 from the 9 or 46. Sack, incomplete. Ball game. That's where you lost the game. All right, they had 3 timeouts. Fine. They can't get off the field.
But it's funny that even basic stuff that you would think would be basic stuff, which is, when you're trying to rush a play, you get the ball to the ref as soon as possible.
Sure.
For them not to even know to do that, instead put it down.
As opposed to hand it to the referee.
Put it down and then have your big fat ass lineman block where the ref's supposed to go touch. And the ref did a good job trying to get to that ball.
But so here's the problem. You have 14 seconds, no timeouts. And if I hear one more guy from the Cowboys say, well, we practice that all the time, up yours. Here's the problem. There's 14 seconds left, and you're scrambling up the middle. You need to get 11 guys set. You need to find some old, out-of-shape referee to come flying in to get the ball set. You know what? They deserve to lose.
They deserve to lose. I agree.
And I'll give you this, too. You know, I love Dak Prescott. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm a big fan as well.
Is it fair to say that Boomer loves Dak Prescott?
Yeah, Boomer loves Dak Prescott.
This guy is as good a guy as they come. So I want to be very clear when I say that. This was really disappointing, though. So after the game, did you see the video of the bottles being thrown and DeMarcus Lawrence had to shield one with his helmet?
I did see that. Very casually, by the way, he shielded one with his helmet as if it was like a tissue being thrown at him.
So afterwards, a reporter tells Dak, they say, did you see the fans throwing the stuff on the field?
No, I didn't see that. It's sad.
And then he goes into this whole thing like, you're supposed to be with us, you're our fans, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Then the reporter says, it was thrown at the refs.
I think they were aiming at the referees.
Yeah. They were at the referees.
Credit to them then.
That's what I'm
Yeah.
They weren't doing it.
Oh, credit to them.
That's not right.
Yeah, and then they get him though right after the game.
I know. But this is where I'm fine. Okay, that's fair. But 5 minutes later, a reporter wants clarity. Like, did you really hear?
When you were told that the fans were throwing the stuff at the officials, you said good for them.
Yeah.
Is that just tells you your feeling about how they officiated the game?
Yeah. If they weren't at us and the fans felt the same way as us and that's what they're doing it for, then, yeah, I guess that's why the fans – I mean, guess that's why the refs took off and got out of there so fast.
Yeah, I
don't like that.
Does he speak again today?
He'll speak again for sure. I don't know if it'll be today. It might be tomorrow.
I think you're going to get a legit apology for
that. I hope so.
And I think he'll mean it. I think.
Because I love the guy.
Me too. And I think right after the game – he is ticked.
I know.
He's bad. He's pissed at all the penalties they took, how they couldn't get that last play off themselves, all that stuff.
I know. I'm with you.
I am sure he just super annoyed.
Yes.
After the game.
But I was like, ugh. He said it once, but when he said it again 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
And here's one other one before we move on. Can you explain to me what in the hell they are doing after they get that fake punt? I mean, Tony Romo said, I love Tony Romo too. The fact that he's on TV saying, oh, I love this. They're trying to get the Niners to burn a timeout. Jackass, they're the ones who are winning. Why are the Niners going to burn it? Who cares if they burn a timeout?
I thought that was so lazy. By the Niners on that play? If you watch that playback.
Oh, the fake punt?
They don't even rush the
punter. And how were they not ready for it?
Right. Romo called it the previous punt.
Yes.
And said the Cowboys do fake punts all the time.
Yeah, I don't know.
A bad job.
The whole thing was just, there was so many bizarre things in the game.
Romo was ticking me off yesterday.
Why?
He was just so annoyed. First of all, early on, he sounded like he was rooting for the Niners, which was weird.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He was like, oh, if you're a Cowboy fan, this is not good. But we were 3 minutes into the game.
Well,
I'm not going to lie to you,
I felt the same way.
But if you're a Niner fan, you've got to be happy. He was way too excited for me. I was so much Aikman Buck.
They were pissed.
Is 1,000 times better than Romo Nance.
I love Aikman and Bunk. I've said that how many? Buck. I called him Bunk. Aikman and Buck.
Aikman and Bunk.
Yeah.
and Aikman even said towards the end of the game, why don't we get the Niner Cowboy game?
Because CBS pay. I found out. There was an article written about that. CBS was smart. They knew that that's the money game. So they put out the extra money to make sure they got whatever that game was going to be. They knew it was going to be the best game or the most attractive game of the weekend.
Right. So yeah, CBS paid extra for the 4:30 Sunday game. Then the NFL on their own decides on the schedule.
Right.
So that's why CBS ended up with a NFC showdown.
And Buck and Aikman got a blowout in Tampa. Right. What happened to the monsoon that everybody told me about?
I know. I was like, maybe I should bet the under on this game. Blah, blah, blah. I turn around, it's sunny out.
My pick for the Eagles shouldn't count. I took them based on you guys telling me there was going to be a monsoon and high winds, and I thought they wouldn't be able to throw the ball.
But even before the game, when they were showing the field, it was sunny.
It was.
But they did show the flags, and it was a very
windy.
Bad wind.
It was windy.
It was 22-mile-an-hour winds. But then when the game started,
high.
It seemed like there was no problem.
Because on the field, the wind's cut off from the stands. It's not as bad.
Oh.
And there was no rain whatsoever. So I tell you, Brady's arm is unbelievable at his age. He's zipping balls all over the place.
He was zipping balls.
Pretty good.
Now, your Cowboys also took some heat for the field. Even one Boomer Esiason said, why did they build the stadium east to west with the sun being
well,
in someone's eyeballs?
Well, this has been going on for years and years. We've discussed this. But I have never, and sometimes the announcers would be like, well, maybe the sun got in his eyes. And then you see the replay. No, the guy just dropped the ball. He's fine. Cedric Wilson yesterday, it was almost like a cannon was shot at him, and he was afraid he was going to lose his head.
Yes. He could not see the ball.
That was a big third down play.
Yes.
And he would have had a first down. The ball's thrown right to him. Oh.
He lost it in the sun, and then the punter hit the screen, the big giant screen.
I said Michelle Salvatore is my boss at Compass Media Networks. I texted her at the end. I said, I am 47 years old. Why am I just so infuriated right now?
Right.
Like that game yesterday, I felt like I was 15 years old again. I really did.
How about when the punter hits the scoreboard, they just go,
this is a bit unusual.
but the ref goes like this over the loudspeakers. As a rule, this is a do-over.
Yes.
It felt like I was playing a game in the street. And it's like, no, just do it over.
That's right.
You hit the car. We're doing it over.
Yeah.
I thought that was like in
Tampa that
yeah,
it's
like
in
the
play?
Tampa Rays. It hits off there, it's in play.
Mm-mm, that's a ground rule,
a
as they
do-over.
Say. Yes,
let's do that one over. No penalties, rule. Just a do-over.
Pretty fun. I did like when he came out though. Well, we have an unusual situation here, which
it's
was funny.
A do-over.
Yeah, it was a do-over. Brian Angers, it's really funny. Great. The Cowboys got a great punter. Awesome.
By the way, the punter on the Steelers, he's a full-figured guy.
Let's not be making fun of people's weight. You see those announcers in Maine? They got fired.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, you can make fun of football players' weight.
Well, that's fair.
But the punter, he is thick.
Did you see Mike Tomlin before the game?
I did. That was awesome.
We messaged
you to
your
team. You have the audio?
Don't blink. If you're a blinker, cut your eyelids off. You know, this is not going to be for the faint of heart.
That was on NBC.
I did see that. He says, if you blink, they'll cut your eyelids off. Is that what it is?
What did he say?
Don't blink. If you're a blinker, cut your eyelids off.
If you're a blinker, cut your eyelids off.
Oh, okay. So if you're a blinker, cut your own eyelids off.
Yes.
I thought he was saying, don't blink because the other team, the Chiefs, will cut your eyelids off.
No, you should go cut your own eyelids off. It's actually pretty funny.
That was a disappointing game. The Steelers.
Yeah,
I
couldn't do it.
I feel like the Chiefs are back.
Well, I saw the score. I mean, you got Travis Kelce throwing touchdown passes in this game, so that's kind of cool.
But I looked, there was still the fourth quarter had just started. So it's not like it was.
Did that make it 35 or did that make it 42? That made it 35, right?
I think 35, yeah.
Yeah, I did this one. I was not staying up. I couldn't take it.
It was too. That's the other thing. Watching Red Zone all season long.
Yeah.
Makes it very difficult to put a regular game on.
Well, for you, not for me. I mean, it's a different.
Well, for some
we
of the
watch
games,
differently.
I will say this: the Cowboy game was not difficult to watch, and the Bengal Raider game
was good.
Those other games were like even the Bucks game.
Well,
it's
31-0.
They were like just.
What are you watching? And even the Bills game, like if there was another game on, why watch that?
Right.
As they are basically just running the – and that game was literally over in the first 5 to 10 minutes. You knew the Patriots had no chance.
Yes.
So I wouldn't have stuck with it either. I do agree with
you.
Good
point.
You got a bad game, you got a bad game. And by the way, the Cowboy game wasn't great. But at least you felt like it looked good. It was Cowboys. It was Niners.
It was
you felt like they'd figure it out.
Right.
It was. But, I mean, it was 13-0. It felt like it was 21-0.
Right. Well, if it would have gotten it to that point, then that would have felt
Agreed.
Over.
Agreed.
But when the Cowboys scored and it was almost like the Niners, they were dominating that game, but they let the Cowboys hang around. And
well,
that
they did. I mean, the Cowboys,
trouble.
they figured some things out and didn't give up the end zone.
Yeah.
And then when they make it 13-7, I'm like, all right, they've settled this thing down. They did ask Mike McCarthy about his job, though, if he's worried about losing his job.
I don't have any concerns.
Should.
I'm proud to be standing here today. Proud of my football team.
Oh. Well, the other thing that the announcers kept saying, Romo and Nance, is that if the Cowboys were going to do something, this was the year because they think
Agreed.
They're going to lose assistance.
Well, Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn are interviewing. Now, I don't think Kellen Moore's getting a head coaching job. The guy's 14 years old.
Yeah, he looks very young.
And coming off this game, So I don't think Kellen Moore's going anywhere. Dan Quinn's an interesting one, though, because he did take the take his team to the Super Bowl. He had a great season as defensive coordinator. But I'll ask you this. If you're Jerry Jones, who would not even respond to the question about, or you do you need to make a coaching change? He said, I'm not going there today. And gushed about the roster, which means he knows he's got good players out there. You want to watch Dan Quinn walk out the door? Or you want to go through another season with Mike McCarthy and hope they bring in a good defensive coordinator? And Micah Parsons up there saying, Q's my guy.
Is that right?
And he's now the face of that defense. I don't know. I'm not saying you fire, and I hate talking about people getting fired, but my goodness. I don't know. I would not be shocked if he's let go today or tomorrow.
McCarthy?
Yeah, I would not be stunned. I really wouldn't.
Did CeeDee Lamb end up with zero catches?
One wonderful catch and two drops. And one drop was important on third down.
And I thought he had one catch that got called
nullified.
Back. Right, that was his first one.
That was his own penalty, wasn't it?
I don't even remember. But I know like they were talking about all game how he had no receptions. Yeah. Then he got there. They go, oh, he finally got one, and it's called back.
That's the thing about why that receivers that drives you nuts. Like in a game like that, you're expecting Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb to be the focal point. And here's one of I know we got to take a break. A, Dalton Schultz is really their best receiver, although he can't block for poop. Their one touchdown drive, their one really good touchdown drive was set up by what?
A run.
A lot of runs. Like runs. That was their one drive. They actually had a focus on the run game, and they ran block, and Pollard and Z actually ran the ball. I don't think they ran the rest of the game. That's like, whatever.
It was so funny seeing the Eagles still running the ball down, whatever they were down. They were down huge. And in the fourth quarter, they're still running the ball. It's like, throw the ball deep.
I think they just wanted to get the hell out of there.
Yeah, the season's over.
That's God. Oh, and how about the Cedric Wilson play? On fourth down from the 46, as Dak is basically running for his life, he turns the wrong way. Oh, otherwise, he catches that ball at the 8-yard line.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's take a break. 20 after 5, we're just getting started. Boomer and Geo at the top on The Fan.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we're off to a good start. 5:27. What's up, Al and Jerry? Until Boomer and Gio at the top. The warm-up show until 6 o'clock. It's been all football, as you can imagine.
Do you think people work on MLK Day or don't work on MLK Day?
A lot of people are off.
So all these hot takes we're dishing out right now, no one's hearing?
Well, that's the beauty of the Odyssey Rewind.
My fresh hot takes of the day. No hot takes.
Yeah.
Well, the division.
I'm disgusted.
I'm disgusted as well, and I'm not even a hardcore Cowboy fan.
You're wearing a Bucks hat today. How disgusted are you?
Well,
please.
Let me ask you this.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks. I'm looking at the divisional round schedule, which is now set, other than, we know the games. Bengals, Titans.
Titans, God.
Niners, Packers. Those are the Saturday games.
By the way, I wouldn't be stunned. If Bosa's healthy and Warner's healthy, I would not be stunned if the Niners are going to win that game.
So that you're saying they go into Dallas and win. You think they could go into Lambeau Field?
I think it's very possible, yeah.
Remember when the Packers never lost at Lambeau Field?
I do, until Michael Vick and the Falcons beat them.
Is that right?
I think so, yeah.
Pre or post the dog situation?
This was pre.
Pre, because he wasn't
on the Falcons after that. I believe the Falcons went in there. It was like a primetime playoff game, like a Saturday night game. And I think they snapped that streak.
Was he running around like a nut?
Yeah, he was playing as good as Michael Vick ever played. I will check that as you discuss.
All right, Jerry. So that's your Saturday game. Sunday, either the Cardinals or Rams, whoever wins tonight, Monday Night Football, goes to the Bucs and the Bills are at Kansas City. Now, that Bills-Kansas City game is a 6:30 Sunday game.
That's going to be chilly.
That's an interesting time frame there. The 6:30?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Well, but that's what they do now.
So there's no Sunday at 1 o'clock game next
Correct.
Weekend.
They start at 3 o'clock.
They start at 3, and on Saturday, the game started 4:30.
Right.
I'm sick. I don't want to look at the Titans.
I don't either. I have
no
interest.
Not be a cool game.
Well, I'll be in Minnesota, so I don't have to worry about it.
You're going
to
be in Minnesota?
I will, yes. Rutgers will be at Minnesota on Saturday.
Oh.
Let's see. Oh, Michael, it was 2002.
Was that the Brett Favre era?
7. Yes, it was still Brett Favre. It was Favre's first ever loss at home in the playoffs.
Wow.
Yeah. 27-7. How about that? The Packers were the only team to go unbeaten at home during the regular season, and they had never lost a home playoff game since the NFL instituted a postseason in 1933. Now, that's a long time, but they were
a long time.
It wasn't like they were 37-0. They were 13-0. 11 of the wins coming at Lambeau, 2 were in Milwaukee, and Michael Vick and the Falcons went in and beat them.
I'm looking at, I think the best game that weekend is going to be Bills Kansas City, right? That's the big game.
I mean, you would think. I do believe San Francisco Green Bay will be a really good game.
Yeah. All right.
I'm into all of them except for the. I don't like the Titans.
Me neither.
They bore me. I don't know what to say.
And I love the Bengals, but I'm not. I have no interest in watching the Titans.
Like Ryan Tannehill.
Boring.
And Jimmy Garoppolo is not a great quarterback, but I don't know. But I feel like I'd rather watch him.
He's smooth, at least.
Sometimes.
I did see on one play where he got knocked down, one of the only 4 times, as you mentioned. He grimaced and shook his hand.
Yes.
And his hand has that weird thing on it.
Yeah.
You know, it's got that weird, like, he's got some sort of contraption on his throwing hand because it's injured. When the Cowboys
worked the hand?
Worked the hand.
They only hit him 4 times, Al. They couldn't get near him.
But when you get near him, hit the hand.
Yeah, I wish it was that easy.
I wish it was the 70s when you could target players and work their hands.
Can't do that anymore.
Like, you know, when the rare time you knock them down, as you're getting up, put all your body weight on his hand.
Yeah, I don't know if we want to do that.
And step on it.
I don't want to win that way.
With spikes.
I don't want them to win that way. You want to play dirty, play dirty. I don't. Here's what I want to do.
You've got to win the games.
Be better. God darn.
I see only based on social media, way too many people tweeting about the Nickelodeon game is so dumb.
Who cares?
It's dumb.
Did you watch it?
I clicked on some of the clips to see how dumb it
was. Whatever. Did you watch it?
No.
Okay. Eddie, did you watch it?
No.
No. Neither did I. So why even lend it any credence? Who cares?
But why do they do? Because they act like it's cool.
They're trying
it's
to get
stupid.
They're trying to get the kids involved.
Right.
If you have a kid that's interested, my Matthew 17, he had zero interest in it. He watched the regular broadcast. And my other son, Joseph, is 11, wasn't even interested in the game. I said, you want to watch it on Nickelodeon? He goes, no. I said, okay.
Anybody who's watching that Nickelodeon for the game needs their head examined.
Too much time on stuff that is irrelevant.
I wasn't going to watch the game, but my kid had no interest in the game until he saw that SpongeBob was between the goalpost. Stupid.
Stupid.
And then did you happen to catch any of the Amazon feed
with Andrea Kramer and Hannah Storm? First of all, I had Kevin Ray and Danny White in my ear, as you know, on Compass Media Networks.
Right, Jerry, you're busy.
And when I would put the volume on the TV, it was Nance and Romo.
That's
what I'm watching.
That's what you're interested in.
See, to me, you want to do all these other things.
Yeah.
Go for it. I'm not interested. I'm going to watch the main broadcast, which is why if you're going to get nuts, and I heard Eddie's telling me Sal got nuts over it, who gives a crap? Just watch what you're watching. God, take care of yourself and stop worrying about other people, for God's sakes. And that's all we like to do is bitch, moan, and complain.
Yeah,
worry
that's what
about
I like
yourself.
To do. I love to do that.
Sal, you freak.
By the way, in watching that Bucks-Eagles game, the Buccaneers, they got very lazy in the fourth quarter.
They were winning 31-0.
I know, but that's no excuse. Like they got very lazy. And did you see Bruce Arians?
Yes. What was that all about?
Trying to beat up one of his own players? So Bruce Arians.
Did he answer to that?
I don't think anyone asked
him
about.
No, someone had to have asked
him. I don't think they did. The article I read last night said nobody asked him about it.
How does no one ask him
about
that?
So Bruce Arians threw an elbow to the head. Or threw an elbow and then slapped the head of Andrew Adams, who's on his Buccaneer team.
Yeah.
Now, people said.
He punched him.
They go, oh, no, he was trying to keep him from pulling people off of the pile and getting a penalty for pulling up. He was nowhere near a pile.
That's not true.
And that is not true.
The guy was standing there. His coach goes over and punches him in the head.
And
was screaming at him.
Right.
No one asked.
I tell you, the media sometimes is great. Sometimes I don't. Like, again, too many questions to Dak and McCarthy about that final play that was almost irrelevant anyway.
Right.
How about this? How about this line of questioning? Why did your team suck for the first half?
That would have been a great question.
Why does your team commit 14 penalties? Why, Dak, did you miss 17 open receivers? How come your receivers, when you throw the ball well, drop it? How about questions like that?
Why does your team suck eggs?
And Bruce, I mean, I don't know how you don't ask Bruce Arians about that. That video went viral very quickly.
Very quickly.
Yeah, I don't know.
I also saw a funny video. I think Barstool posted it. You know, Jalen Hurts kept overthrowing dudes all day.
Yeah.
They go, here's a video of Jalen Hurts with an open receiver. And it was a basketball player, I guess, going for a final shot. Airmailed it 17 rows behind the basket. That made me laugh.
He had a tough day.
And did you see good news? The Buffalo Bills fans fully back. First of all, prior to the game, there was a guy who did a beautiful dive
into the table
off of a van into the table. Was so smooth.
These people are nuts.
It looked great. Then they threw a marital aid again on the field.
At what point in the game did they do this?
It was when Buffalo finally scored
when
New England finally scored
a touchdown.
Oh, by the way, touchdown.
Yeah, they got their 10th point.
And I saw a video of an infant Bills fan being placed on a table. And
yes.
The table broke. I don't know if you saw that.
I did see that. Yeah.
Oh, come on.
It was indoors, very controlled. The father put his infant through a table, Bills fan style, very safely though. It was not child abuse.
It was tremendous though.
So the marital aid was on the field.
Wow.
Thrown right there.
Would you have
They're
any?
Back.
Let's.
The fans are back.
See, I can't even ask you this because you're not really a fan. Eddie,
what? I'm a big fan.
No, you're not. If. But see, you don't even stay up to watch the Dolphins if they have a big game because you go to bed. I can't even ask you.
What's the question?
Well,
maybe
we'll figure
it out.
What would it take? Like, I saw Ray Martell and Zach Gelb post a photo that they were at Orchard Park.
So stupid.
Why?
I saw that. I was like, what are these two doing?
Well, see, that's my question. Like, I love going to games. I do. I don't know that I could bring myself to go watch a game that's 0 degrees with a wind chill of -5. I don't know. To me, it's not fun.
I know. And, man, people were into it in Buffalo. They were so hardcore.
I was going to ask, well, you know, as a Dolphin fan, would you go to a game like that? But
I'm like,
why?
These commercials that run all day long during football, which is when you become – it's like how adults complain about stuff.
Yes.
Or something like that.
Sure.
It's sort of like an insurance commercial. And they take a little van to the football game. And all the adults are like, well, where are we going to park? And what are we going to leave at the third
quarter? Isn't that the progressive about being like your parents?
Yeah, progressive, being like your parents. Yeah. I'm like, that's me.
I know it's you.
Before I'm even at
the
game, I go. You're
concerned about everything except what you're going to.
Why is parking expensive? When are we leaving?
Yeah.
Let's park here. We could get out quicker.
Have you seen the Caesars commercials, obviously?
Yeah.
Right? With what's his name from Curb Your
Enthusiasm? J.B. Smoove.
Do you know who plays Cleopatra?
Yes.
Do you know Eddie? You know
I
who
do not.
Is? All right.
Eddie might not even know who the woman is when you say her name.
No, he will. You've seen those commercials, right?
Yes.
You've seen Cleopatra. Do you even have a guess?
No.
You know it's Halle Berry?
I did not know that.
I was blown away. I thought it was, I can't think of her name. God almighty. Ashton Kutcher's wife. What's her name?
Mila Kunis.
That's who I thought it was.
Interesting.
And I Googled it just to see, and it's Halle Berry.
Halle Berry.
Good for her, man. She looks great.
And I know who both of those women are. But
I know you do. No, I know you do.
And by the way, the boner pill commercials are back.
They are?
Yeah. You know,
they had to jump on the whole thing from last week.
Well, we had talked about how Viagra and Cialis stopped advertising because the drugs went generic and they didn't want to advertise. Now Roman had commercials.
Oh, for the blue pill.
In the NFL today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Talking about, it's so creepy. It's all old people going, do you want to go do it? Like,
let me ask you, did you?
I don't like knowing that old people make love.
A little hint for you. You're kind of fast becoming one.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. I don't like the idea of it. Sex should be for the young people. Think of what went into me getting this one bone. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to see two 60-year-olds go.
I understand.
Do you want to go do it?
Well, don't they say the most sex is had at the older age homes?
Yeah, I don't know what goes on there.
Apparently a lot of sex goes on there.
They're like, look, your Roman pills have arrived. That's the commercial.
No, I
it's uncomfortable.
And it comes in a nice discreet packaging envelope. Yeah.
But and then they were also doing the commercial. Did you see this commercial or no?
No, I don't think so.
So they were trying to be like, they like would show their Roman pill package and they go, do you want to go paint the bedroom? You know what I'm saying? And then what? So there was all like things like that. Like, did you want to go see what's in the fridge? You know, like
right there on the kitchen table. What are we
and
doing
then at
here?
One point, just the two oldest people in the commercial go, do you want to go do it?
Oh! And have either of you seen the bent carrot commercials?
No.
I have not.
That is special.
What's it for?
A penis. What do you mean, what's it for?
Jerry is correct.
Yes.
It's a commercial?
Just Google while we go to break,
right,
which we're late for.
Okay. I will
bent
do that.
Carrot.
I will do that. We'll come back. I do want to ask him about the Bart Scott thing real quick on the other side. One thing about that whole thing from last week, and then Boomer and Gio at 6 on the Fan.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Before the break, I said, you know, I wanted to ask you something about Mark Scott. Did you see the actual video, though, about the Viagra thing?
I did not see the video. I read the quotes.
It is worth, it's no more than 60 seconds, but it's worth it from the standpoint of he is so incredibly serious about it, which is fine, and I'm not disputing what he is saying. He knows better than we do at this point. But they're having fun with it. Like, they legit don't know if he's being serious or not. He gets annoyed as if, like, what is wrong with these people? Like, I am telling you that Viagra works to get the blood flow, and we all used to do it. The two former NFL players that are on it with him are laughing at him. The host, she doesn't know what to do, and he looks pissed.
Was it Diana Russini?
I
think it was.
Maybe. I don't know. It's worth watching, though, especially knowing Bart, who'd been around here for when he was.
Well, the former players, were they older than Bart?
No, I would say same. Well, I'd say around the same age. I'm not 100% sure. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I used to like having Bart around here.
Yeah, it was fun. A lot of energy.
A lot of energy. He would tell fun locker room stories.
I miss him. I miss Taz running around here like a lunatic.
Taz
was fun.
He would suplex you, though, Jerry, if you said something mean to him.
He could do that. That's true.
Did you see Ryan Fitzpatrick was at the Bills game as well?
I didn't.
And at one point, he got shirtless in the
did he really?
In the stands, yeah, to take a photo with somebody.
Well, good for him. Did he have a tattoo on his belly?
He did not. Mm. He did have his big beard, though. I saw him with a big winter coat on in one photo.
Was that his chest hair, or you mean like a coat?
No, he had actual...
That's got to be disgusting.
He had an actual winter coat on and was bundled up. And he took a picture with a woman, an older gal. And then he took a photo with, like, looked like a 20-something-year-old guy, and they were both shirtless.
All right, cool.
So he's getting into it.
Well, good for him. Ryan Fitzpatrick seems like a fun dude to be around.
He does he does seem like a fun dude.
He does. Where is he next year? Is he on another team? Is he signed somewhere?
I don't think he signed right now.
Well, where hasn't he played? He's got to go there.
Right, go look at the list, see who's still what teams are still available that you don't have a jersey
from. Did you see
from.
Ian wearing the Kurt Warner jacket Saturday?
I did not.
Oh, you didn't see that? Ian Even Eagle? On social media, you didn't see that?
No.
He had that puffy silver jacket on.
On purpose?
Like, I'm wondering if, like, NFL folk were given, you know how CBS gave us those blue jackets at the Super Bowl? I'm almost wondering if, like, NFL broadcasters were given those or something, because Kurt Warner wore it.
Kurt Warner wore it. Looked like a silver alien, puffy alien spacesuit.
Ian was wearing it Saturday.
And you tell me Ian wore it.
Saturday night, the Buffalo game.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looked funny.
I did not see that.
I did not
Looked like
that.
He was eating him.
The jacket was eating him?
Yes.
Here was a weird name that came across as a potential coach, a potential head coach in the NFL.
For what team?
This was for the Texans.
Okay.
Hines Ward.
Oh, okay. Has he ever coached after his playing days?
Well, he was actually on the Jets coaching staff.
No. Has he been a head coach in college or in high school?
No.
I remember he was a wide receivers coach.
Yeah.
Like a low level, if I remember correctly.
Yes. But the Texans interviewing
okay.
him.
Okay.
And I see the Giants are up next for the former Dolphins head coach.
Brian Flores. Yeah. Who's making the rounds.
Yeah, he's making the rounds. You think he ends up here?
You know what I read? No, I don't. well, I mean, it's possible. I read, I don't know if it was J.P. Pelsman or Arthur Stapleton, one of them yesterday, as Mike McCarthy was vomiting all over himself during that game, said that, and I don't remember this, McCarthy interviewed with the Giants, and they liked him. Now, they didn't go with him, clearly. He wound up in Dallas, but I don't remember that.
I thought he went and talked to the Jets.
I remember Joe Beningo
wanted him, I think.
But maybe he interviewed with them before they hired Joe Judge.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't remember that. And maybe
he needs a different sideline demeanor.
I do know the Jets did interview him for sure because there were people that wanted him.
Yeah, this Mike McCarthy, he just needs a different sideline demeanor.
I guess. I mean, he got all over the officials. He did show some fire yesterday. But
he's got resting dolt face. He just looks like a dolt. I love everybody, especially in that place, because the video board is so gigantic.
It's awesome.
Every time there's a crucial play and they go to the sidelines, they're all just looking up at the giant replay machine.
Yeah, of course. It is beautiful. You've never been there, right?
No. I never was to Texas Stadium.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was a bad job by me. Yeah. Because that's gone now.
What?
That was imploded.
Oh, that's gone?
You really need to make a trip there, though.
I will go there eventually. Jerry.
Yeah.
One of the other big controversies. So I don't consider last night's Cowboy Niner late afternoon game, I don't consider that a referee controversy.
No,
you?
I don't either. No. I thought
that's on the Cowboys.
I thought the officiating wasn't great, but I thought the Cowboys sucked and it was their own fault.
And the wild card weekend got off to a bad job by the officials in the Bengal Raider game.
This was the whistle and the touchdown, right?
Yeah, so Joe Burrow is rolling towards the sideline, throws the ball. He's inbounds, but there's a whistle.
Yep.
And then it's a caught touchdown, and they call it a touchdown. All of the referees that work on all of these broadcasts now said once the whistle blows, the play is dead.
Yeah.
The referees then came out and said that they blew the whistle after the catch, which is not true. When you can hear it and see it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, do you think there was a dude on the Raiders who was covering the receiver of the Bengals called touchdown, and he looked like he gave up a half a second, but he looked like he gave up not because he heard a whistle, but because he wasn't going to be able to get there to defend.
Well, I would think that, because at that point the play is ongoing. Once the play starts, and if you're going, you're going.
But if he heard the whistle, is it possible?
But the whistle was before. Wasn't the whistle before when?
The whistle was blown as Burrow released the ball.
Oh, I thought as he was rolling.
No.
Okay.
Because they thought he stepped out of bounds.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one.
So
then
they whistle it while the ball's in the air, and it looks like the Raider defender quits on it. But you don't know if he quit on it because he wasn't going to be able to get there to
defend
it. Here's
what I know. That officiating crew is not officiating in the playoffs anymore. They're done. I think that was announced.
That was announced.
Yeah. So
you're done.
We got to take a break.
When
we come back, we out.
You're fired.
When we come back, you're fired. We'll come back and wrap it up in just a moment. Boomer and Geo at 6, Odyssey Sports Minute with Amy Lawrence on that Cowboy Niner game.
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry, the superheroes of WFAN.
Welcome back. Niners, Chiefs, Bucks all win. You've got day basketball today for the Knicks and the Nets in St. John's beat Georgetown.
Bengals head coach Zach Taylor did something cool, Jerry.
He
delivered a game ball to a bar in town that he drives by on his way home from Bengals games, and he says there's always like a ton of Bengals fans there, and he brought them a game ball from their big victory.
When I first saw it, I'm like, he just stopped at a bar to have a drink? Like, how weird.
His way home.
And then I saw what he was doing, which I thought was very cool.
And he brought someone with him, I think like the punter or something.
Nice. That guy needed to ride home or something? What was that all about?
WFAN and WFAN-FM and HD1, New York.
An Odyssey station.